David looked at me like, what? And I tell people I do not, and I hate to say it like this, I do not study our Sunday school lesson because I don't want my preaching to interfere with the Sunday school lesson. And we started Romans chapter 1 today in Sunday school. I did not have no idea that we were starting in Romans chapter 1. But I was talking to someone this week, and when I got off the phone with him, this passage of Scripture came to my mind. And I was asking God to help me as far as I know, I don't know if I've ever preached from one passage of Scripture, and I'm not going to use just one verse. I'll be preaching from several verses, but Romans chapter 1, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. I hope you've already felt the presence of God, amen. If you haven't felt the presence of God, it's not God's fault. I want to start reading in verse 18. When you get there, say amen. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. For God hath showed it unto them. This is the verse that came to my mind this week. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made by corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for another day. We thank you, God, for your word. Lord, I thank you, God, for the songs that's been sung, Lord. And as right now, God, over the next few minutes, God, as we try to expound on your word, God, give us the message, God. Help it to go out and touch hearts, Lord. I pray, God, you'd strengthen us right now through your word. Lord, if there's somebody that's not saved, God, not where they need to be, help them to realize that today's the day of salvation. And whatever's done, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There was a man one time who lit a bright light in the morning and went to the marketplace, and he cried ceasingly, I seek God. I seek God. There were so many of those that were standing by that didn't believe in God, so they laughed at him. Is God lost, one of them said. Has he gone astray like a child, said another one, or is he hiding? Maybe he's gone on board a ship and immigrated, so they laughed and shouted one to another. The man sprang into their midst and said this to them, where is God, he cried. I'll tell you, we have killed him. You and I, we're all his killers. But how have we done this? How could we swallow up the sea? How could who gave us a sponge to wipe away the horizon? Who will do this as the earth is set forth from the sun? Friedrich Nietzsche said this in 1889. Nietzsche's point was that not that God does not exist, but that God has become irrelevant. Men and women may assert that God exists or that he does not exist, but it makes little difference either way, because God is dead not because he does not exist, but because we live and play and procreate and govern and die as though he does not exist. Matthew chapter 24 tells us, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the coming of the Son of Man, people were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. There's nothing wrong with those things, but the thing about it is people just ain't looking for him. We live our lives now like we don't need God. We live our lives now like God is irrelevant. We live our lives. I was talking to somebody this week. Most people in church live their lives as God is a spare tire. When something bad happens, they want to pull him out. But the Bible says that for the invisible things of God are clearly seen. That's the verse that jumped out at me, Brother Tony, this week. For the invisible things of God are clearly seen. We know there's a God. people know there's a God. Romans chapter 1, because that which they have known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him are from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The place of God's revelation. Look at verse 19. It said, in them, Brother Tony. Did y'all see that? Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. There's nobody in this church. There's nobody on this walk in the face of the earth right now that does not know there's a God. Oh, they can push it aside. They can push it aside, Greg. They can say I'm an atheist. They can say I don't believe. But I like what one of the old preachers said. There ain't no atheists in foxholes. People know there's a God. Verse 19 said, it's in them. It's on the inside of every last one of us. We try to suppress it. We try to push it away. We try to make it where it don't. We'll try to educate it out. But people know there's a God. The power of God's revelation, it's all around us. It's all around us. Psalms 19, verse 1 through 3 says this, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In other words, I don't care where you go, you can see God. You can see God. Think about the seed that becomes a mighty tree. I'm just going, you know what amazes me? And I'm gonna take a side track here. What amazes me is how people can think that all this just came into existence by itself. That something, the Big Bang Theory, had an explosion and everything just fell right into place. It'd take an idiot to believe that. That's like saying we can set a bomb off at O'Reilly's down there, and when the smoke clears, it's going to be a brand new car. That's what people believe. I mean, listen, it takes a whole lot less faith to believe what we believe, that there is a mighty God and he created everything. It takes less faith to believe that than to believe what some of the scientists believe. Think about the birds that are able to navigate by the stars. Even when they are raised in a windowless room and shown an artificial sky, when they get turned out, they can navigate by. That just don't happen. Think about there are giant telescopes that can view objects over 4 billion light years away. That's a distance of 25 million miles. Understand, think of the most scientists now believe that the massive universe that came into existence at a specific instance in time. Do you know that among major scientists now, evolution is kicked to the side. Most scientists now believe in creation. Oh, you don't hear about that. Because when we go off to college, you know, they try to suppress that. Think about this then. In any given instance, there are over 1,800 storms in operation. At one time, Brother Tony had mentioned storms this morning, and that kind of got my mind thinking about it. The energy needed to create and sustain those storms amount to the insurmountable 1,300,000,000 and some million horsepower just to generate all that. Think about this. When God created everything, when God put the sun up there, he ain't had to create it again. It's been doing its job right now, glory to God, for over 6,000 years. And I'm telling you, it's still as bright right now as it was the day God created it. Man cannot do anything like that. There are over 10 million species of insects in the world. Think about this. The earth is 25,000 miles in circumference, weighs 6 septillion, 588 sextillion tons, and hangs on nothing. That ought to make you want to shout right there. Now listen, it spins at 1,000 miles per hour. With absolute precision, it spins around the sun at a speed of 1,000 miles per minute in a yearly orbit that is 580 billion miles long. God did that. God did that. And people don't want to believe in that. Now listen, folks. All this just didn't happen. for the invisible things of God are clearly seen. I can remember, Preacher Trevor, I can remember growing up, and I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I'd walk around the farm, Skip, and I would think, there's got to be somebody watching over me. Any of y'all ever have anything like that when you was little? There's got to be somebody watching over me. Things just don't happen like they're happening in my life. And then as I grow up and I come through life and I get saved, and me and my wife moved to Orangeburg, and I got shot being a state trooper and got in all those wrecks and all the shootouts and everything I got, and God had his hand on me. And I got to thinking about it this morning, and I started to bring my family up here. I started to bring my wife and bring Heather and Blake up here and say, look what God's done. And God took four people, moved them to Lancaster, and look at the family I've got now. Those girls up there singing, and those children sitting back there on that bench. I'm telling you, I got a good God that loves me, and I'm telling you, he's got his hand on me. The Bible says twice. The Bible only got to say it, Matt, one time to get our attention. But the Bible tells us twice in Psalms chapter 14, verse 1, and Psalms chapter 53, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. People know there's a God. People know they've sinned against God. When you do wrong, you ain't got to have a preacher stand up and tell you. You know when you do wrong. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 22, verse 2 through 25, there it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We all know when we do wrong, but we think we can handle it. That's how it was before. Let me tell you something. Before I got saved, I knew I was sinning. I was raised in church. Before I got saved, I didn't need nobody to tell me that drinking was wrong. I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong just by living. I knew it was wrong just by the stupid stuff that it made you do. Amen. Some of y'all better say amen right there, because y'all know what I'm talking about. I didn't have to become a state trooper to see all the evils of alcohol and all the evils of drugs. I didn't have to go through all that. I knew it was wrong. Amen. I knew cussing was wrong. Yeah. I knew filthy talk was wrong. I that's the thing. We all know it's wrong, but we think we can handle it. That's why we do some of the stupid stuff we do. Understand that, folks. We think we can handle it. And I'm reminded of a story that I read one time, and Preacher Trevor can back this up. There was a story of a guy that worked at a zoo, and this lady come in, and he was giving a lecture about raccoons, and talking about how after a few months that raccoons' glandular, they change, and they'll get more aggressive. And this little girl had her a pet raccoon, and it was pretty, and it was real small. And she said, oh, this won't happen to me. This won't happen to me. This raccoon loves me. And after about 3 or 4 months, it happened. She had to have plastic surgery because it attacked her. Reminds me of another story of a guy that had a pet rattlesnake. Kept it in the glass. I mean, you see the thing about it? You keep playing with stuff. You keep playing with stuff, and it'll finally bite you. They found the man dead, Greg, because the rattlesnake got out. Reminds me of another story, and I used this illustration several months ago when I preached on the python. It reminds me of a story about how the lady goes to the vet, and she says, oh, my snake just loves me. My python loves me. It'll get in the bed, and it'll curl up to me. The man said, that snake don't love you. That snake's trying to figure out whether he can eat you. You cannot handle sin. Understand that. Well, for the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means, I like what Preacher Tommy Bryson said, all means all, and that's all means. Every one of us have sinned. Every one of us, we know there's a God, and we know right from wrong. I believe with all my heart, it is down deep inside of us. You ain't got to be taught it. I'm telling you right now, that's human nature. We all go astray. But the thing about it is, we know when it's wrong. People know they face judgment in their sins. Verse 32 in Romans chapter 1. For who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do. There's a price to be paid for sin, folks. There is a price to be paid for sin. Understand that. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. James chapter 1 tells us this. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Just like in life, you know. I've already made mention that I was a state trooper. What's the speed limit, Tony? 55. I ain't going to ask Matt because Matt ain't got no clue what the speed limit is. I ain't going to ask Greg because Greg ain't got no clue what the speed limit is. The thing about it is, I'm going to pick on Greg. He's sitting on the front row. Greg drives fast. Most of us do. Even though Greg chooses to drive fast, he still knows what the speed limit is. And I'm sure down through the years you've been stopped. When he gets stopped, guess what? He knew what the speed limit was. Just like there is a consequence for breaking the laws of the land, there is a consequence for breaking God's laws. When sin it is finished, it bringeth forth death. People know there's a God. People know people know when they do right from wrong. People know there's going to be a judgment coming. But the thing about it is, we got to understand something. There is a judgment coming, and we're all going to be judged by Jesus. See, that's the thing. A lot of people don't understand that. Romans chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 says this, for there is no respect of person with God, for as many have sinned without the law shall be perished without the law, and many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. But Jesus died for our sins. So that makes him the only one, Brother Ed, that's going to be able to judge us for our sins. Understand something. When Jesus came down, he left the glory of heaven. He left the splendor of heaven. He didn't have to. He's the one that created it all. If you study the Bible, He's the one that spoke everything into existence. He's the one that hung that sun there. He's the one that hung the moon there. He's the one that carved out the Grand Canyon. He's the one that made everything. He's the one that looked down and said, they're going to need a Savior, and there ain't nobody else in heaven that can go down and save them. So he chose to leave the splendor of heaven. He left heaven. He came down, took on an earthly form, walked this earth for 33 years, never sinned, never did anything wrong, and when it come time to pay to sin debt, he went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for you. He paid the sin debt. Like David said, all that stuff that was happening in the Old Testament, all those animals that had to be killed, as hard as they worked, there was still more behind them, David. You made that perfectly clear this morning. But when Jesus died on the cross, glory to God, and his shed blood was in there and it was put on that mercy seat, hey, it cried finished forever and forever. And all you and I have to do is accept what he did on the cross. Jesus took the most horrible beatings and crucifixion that anybody ever did because he loved you. Mike sings the song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. The thing about it is, Jesus paid that debt for you. The debt's been paid. All you got to do is accept it. See, the problem is you don't have to pay the price for your sin. It's already been paid. You don't have to pay that sin debt. It's already been paid. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. But the problem is, if you don't accept Jesus, if you don't accept what he did on that cross, you will pay your sin debt. The Bible talks about a place called hell. It is a real, literal place. The Bible talks about a place called heaven. It is a real, literal place. And understand something. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Understand something. There is a place called heaven, but there is a place called hell. So how do you be saved? For the invisible things of God are clearly seen. Now listen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Now listen. So that they are without excuse. Every one of us in here is going to stand before Jesus one day. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. I have people, Clint, tell me, ask me this all the time. What about these people in these Amazon tribes that they've never heard of Jesus? Let me tell you something. For the invisible things of God are clearly seen. They might not know his name, but they know who he is. So that they are without excuse. So how do you be saved? Number one, you got to admit you're a sinner. You got to admit you're a sinner. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You got to admit you're a sinner. You got to believe in Jesus. You got to believe that Jesus is who he said he was. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 89, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Admit, believe, confess. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, preacher, is it that simple? It's that simple. It don't take a genius to be saved. It just takes somebody willing to admit they're a sinner, believe in Jesus, and confess their sins. I got saved that way. David got saved that way. Preacher Trevor got saved that way. Melvin got saved that way. Adam got saved that way. We all gonna, if you get saved, that's the way you're gonna get saved. You'll get saved this way or you won't be saved. You can't come down and shake somebody's hand. You can't fill out a card and be saved. You got to admit, you got to believe, and you got to confess. You're not saved because grandmama was saved. You're not saved because granddaddy started the church. You're not saved because grandmama did this or granddaddy did that. And I'm telling you, God ain't got no grandchildren. Amen. Hey, we all either children or we're not children. So the question is right now, are you saved? I believe it all my heart. Everybody in here believes in God. I believe that. I don't believe there's an atheist in this building. I don't believe there's going to be an atheist listening to me. I don't believe there's going to be an atheist watching on Facebook. I don't believe there's going to be an atheist watching on YouTube. Deep down, Richard, everybody knows. It might take some of us a little bit longer like it did Richard. But even though Richard fought against coming to church, I believe deep down he knew. Where are you at right now? If God was to call time right now, and I believe it's coming shortly, where would you spend eternity? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to bow your heads with me.